Thank you, Peter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're in Lent, the first week of Lent, and it's Lent. Yeah, things are moving along the way God wants it to move. And we continue to pray for Sister Mary Ann and her prayers in the divine will. We pray for all the situations throughout the world. Today we're going to start Volume 16, January 20th, 1924, where Jesus says, "My daughter, courage, do not leave yourself prey to oppression." So here, this is what Lent does sometimes. Lent puts us in a situation where we are in a difficult times. We're in times that may seem oppressive. And what Jesus is asking of us, what Jesus is asking of us is that we have to have courage in these times. Difficulties are coming, are here, and we have to be courageous. We have to remember, like the words of the great saints, Saint Joan of Arc. She said she was born for these times, she said. And it's the same thing. God has predestined us to live at this time, to go through what we're going through, because this is our life. This is where we are called to be. And it's more difficult than what the saints have gone through. And the reason is we're being attacked not only on the outside, but on the inside in a way that can oppress us. For example, the nanobots, if you've ever read anything about nanobots, they're all around us. The chemicals, waves, radiation waves and radio waves, microwaves, you know, they oppress us. And we have to understand that we're being attacked in a way that the saints did not know. And so what God has done is he's given us the way and the means to get through all that's happening around us. And that is this great gift of the divine will. This great gift of the divine will gives us the strength to get through what we're all going through. I know people that are affected by electricity. Just the electricity causes difficulties. And it's happening more and more in people as our technology gets really leads us farther and farther away from God. We believe in technology more than we do of our Lord and our Savior, our Master and our King. We don't have the faith, the trust that the saints had because of our technology. And this is something, again, that is, we have to understand, God has given us the way and the means to get through these most difficult times, and that is with the Book of Heaven. Why did Jesus wait until now to teach Louisa about the kingdom? He said he talked to no one else like this before. Louisa is the first one who lived the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. Because now is the time where we're going to need a greater strength to get through what's coming. And this is why Jesus says to Louisa, courage, courage. You have to be courageous. We are one with Jesus Christ. One of the main ways to get us in a stronger relationship with Jesus is in front of the Blessed Sacrament, to spend time with Jesus every day. And all of us can do this because of technology. You know, if you can't find a parish, a church that has Eucharistic adoration, you can go to the internet and find live adoration somewhere in the world. And you can spend time with our Eucharistic Lord, adoring him and loving him and praising him and thanking him and blessing him and worshiping him. This is what our Lord is. He's given us this opportunity. And so don't leave yourself prey to oppression. Don't be a victim of oppression. You have to fight discouragement as you would fight the hell itself, because discouragement leads to despair, and despair is where Judas went. He didn't trust in God. He didn't go back and plead with God as Peter did when the Lord, you know, when the Lord said to Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" He was saying to Peter, "You know, I have a job for you." He says the same thing for us. He has a job for us to do. We're not here by chance. He's given us the book of heaven to read, to study, to put it into practice, to be able to have the strength to get through these most difficult times. So he says, don't leave yourself prey to oppression. Don't be discouraged. You must be courageous. You go back to Jesus Christ. Go back to spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Spend time in front of a crucifix. Look at Jesus crucified. Look at him. Be with him. And this is why the hours of the Passion are so important today, especially during Lent. Reading the hours of the Passion is every single day as we go through these 40 days of Lent. To get ready to embrace the resurrection. As Jesus said to Louisa, he wants us to rise from the dead now. He doesn't want us to wait until after we're dead. He says true resurrection is to begin to live in the divine will now. So he says, if you knew how much I, God, suffer in seeing you suffer. The Lord knows what each and every one of us are going through. And a lot of times we, I've heard people say this, why me? Why do I have to go through this? Why, what did I do? Why me? Jesus did all the suffering. That Christ is suffering, Christ is the truth. Christ is truth. Christ is the way. He is the way to do this, to live this life. And if we don't understand suffering that we're going through, it's because we're not focused on the one who suffered the most and his mother who suffered at his side. You know, she was told very early that a sword was going to pierce her heart. It was going to be ripped in two, cut in two. And that's what happened to Jesus's heart as well. The Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. She said, if you only knew how much I suffer in seeing you suffer. The Lord knows what we're going through. The Lord knows what your family, your friends, your neighbors, the Lord knows what's happening. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and find life burdensome, and I will refresh you. We have to turn to Jesus. And unfortunately today, most people don't turn to Jesus Christ. They turn to everything but Jesus. If they are suffering, they turn to medication. They don't go to the healer, Jesus Christ. He is our healer. He is our savior. He's our Lord. He's our King. He's our master. And he needs us to come to him, to trust him, to believe in him, to hope in him, to have confidence in him in the name of everyone and everything. The majority of humanity just complains and is filled with rage of what they have to go through. Yet Jesus says, if you only knew how much I suffer in seeing you suffer. He knows what we're going through. He knows what your family's going through. I mean, you say you love your family. Jesus loves them more. And so he's asking us, he's pleading with us to give our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners to Jesus so that he can lead us, guide us, direct us, heal us. The Lord is the only one that's going to do this. No medicine, no person on earth can bring us the healing that Jesus does and our Blessed Mother does. We go to her. Why? Because she brings us to Jesus. We pray the rosary. Why? So that we can learn more about who Jesus Christ is. We spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament to look at Jesus. That's another thing. When the priest holds up the host, this is the Lamb of God. When he holds us up at Holy Mass, our job is not to look away. Our job is to look at him. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our Master. And we say to him, I trust in you. I believe in you. I have confidence in you. This is where the courage comes from. It's knowing him, getting close to him. So he gives us the Book of Heaven so that we can learn more about who he is. He is speaking to Louisa. Louisa is writing everything down that Jesus says. Jesus says, this book is not about you, Louisa. You're not writing this book, Louisa. He says, I am writing in your writing. I, the Lord God Almighty, the Word of God, speaks to you these words. Each word is a divine life that expands infinitely for all eternity. He wants this word to grow in us to such a way that we become fruitful in every thought, every word, every deed. Why? Because it's coming from him. He's the one that's doing this. Our Lord, our Savior. So when we hear what he's saying, we have to, if you only knew how much I suffer in seeing you suffer, I, God, suffer so much that in order to not see you suffer so much, I put you to sleep. This is, Jesus tells Louisa that, the divine will is an opiate. It's like opium. When you go to surgery, you are knocked out. So you don't feel the suffering. You don't feel the pain. And it's not that, you were drugged. He's saying that he needs us to understand that what he wants for us is painful. What is the pain? It's not to do our human will. It's not to live in our human misery. It's to give up our worry, our fear, our anxiety, our complaints, our negativity, our sin. That's the suffering we have to go through. And the consequence of that suffering, of no worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints, no negativity, no sin, is peace, joy, and happiness. When we are trusting in Jesus, we get a glimpse of what the saints went through when they were going through their martyrdoms, how they could surrender to the tortures of death, how they could surrender to complete trust in God, complete confidence in Jesus and Mary. Our job is when we are not filled with this word of God, if we don't know sacred scripture, if we don't know the teachings of the saints, if we don't know the prayers that the saints have taught us, we can't go to that next step, which is then to enter into this abundant life of Jesus and Mary. We have to learn, as Jesus says, the simple ABCs of the Catholic faith, of this universal life. Why? So that we can begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. So he says, what you're going through, he says, if you knew how much I, God, suffer when I see you suffering, I, God, suffer so much that in order to see you suffer so much, I put you to sleep. This is something that the Lord will show us in eternity. He will show us right now. It's kept secret. It's kept hidden. I truly believe that, as Jesus tells Louisa, you know, there's really no time and space in the divine will, that when we read, Jesus takes us to heaven outside of time and space, and he teaches us what he is speaking to Louisa about. And as you read this, as Jesus is teaching you, he gives you like a divine anesthesia. And what happens? You're back in your body and you're happy in that instant. And what happens at that point is you don't remember. You will remember in eternity where there's no time or space, but trapped in time and space where we are right now, you're happy, but you don't know why you're happy. When you read, you go, yes, yes, yes. Why? Jesus is speaking to you and he's expanded your capacity. So I truly believe that what the Lord is doing, even when you spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, the hour can seem like a minute. Why? You enter into this oneness with God. You enter into this life of the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. So we can't say, you know, I spent, 15 minutes in front of the Blessed Sacrament and I understand everything. No, you spent 15 minutes, maybe time-wise, but you could have spent hours and hours and hours with Jesus. Him teaching you, letting you learn what this word that Jesus speaks as the word of God is expanding in your interior life. See, it's not to go just by the human understandings, but Jesus is asking us to go into a divine understanding. And it can't be explained with human words. That's why Louisa says often when she's teaching, she says, I can't go any further because it's going to sound like nonsense. Why? How do you put into terms a divine understanding? How do you put into human terms a divine understanding? So a lot of times when you're reading, you'll go, yes, yes, yes. And you don't know, you can't explain it to anyone. But you've entered into this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary, which is peace, joy, and happiness. I know a lot of good people who are very, very negative, very negative. These people go to church every day. They pray the rosary every day. They wear the scapular every day. But they're negative. They're living a life of misery. Well, because of this and then because of that and because of this. And Jesus knows. And he says to Louisa right at the beginning, be courageous. Don't put yourself prey to oppression. Don't be negative. The great thing about this, the gift of the divine will, is to be positive. What do they say? What brings healing? Joy brings healing. Happiness brings healing. A child laughs 90% of the time. An adult laughs 10% of the time. And that's why they're called grown-ups or grumps. Jesus says the kingdom of God is for children. The book of heaven is for children. It's not difficult to understand what Jesus is saying. He's speaking to us. He's leading us. He's guiding us. He's directing us every day if we wish. If we're reading the calendar, I mean, I've had so many people just thank God for the calendar, that every day something more beautiful is happening with them. Jesus is speaking to them. Mary is speaking to them through this little newborn Louisa. Louisa was, everything that Jesus said to Louisa was for our benefit. If we're reading, and he says, you got to be courageous. And this is the first thing he says today. Don't let yourself be a victim of oppression. We're not to be victims. We are sons and daughters of God. I remember being in clinical pastoral education, and people said, basically, you know, why are you happy? You know, and I looked at him. I said, I know something that you don't know. And they went, we don't want to hear it. They literally put their hands over their ears. We don't want to hear this. And I'm going to tell you what it is. And they could not believe, because they were oppressed by what was happening around them. Now, again, this is 40 years ago. And I said to them, I know I am a son of God. I know I am a child of God. And how can you not be happy? And they went, is that it? And I'm going, is that it? It's everything. And what is Jesus doing? He's speaking to us every day. He is the Word. The Protestants have the book. They have the Bible, and they say, we listen every day to the Word. We have the Eucharist and Scripture and tradition and the saints. And now today we have the Book of Heaven. It's the fullness of who our Lord is. Yes, we have it in sacred scripture every day at Holy Mass. We listen to that Word, and that Word is proclaimed by the priest at the homily. Our job is to get closer and closer to Jesus. I mean, we did not know about divine mercy until Jesus really spoke to St. Faustina. And then because of St. John Paul II, because of him listening to what Jesus said to St. Faustina, he went all around the world proclaiming what? The final devotion that I give to my church is divine mercy before I return. That's what Jesus said to St. Faustina. And St. John Paul II knew this. He lived it. He proclaimed it. And so what does he do? In the year 2000, he gives us divine mercy to the church. I remember I was giving a retreat during Holy Week on divine mercy. This is before, before 2000. Because it was so beautiful to read what Jesus taught St. Faustina. It was so beautiful. And this one priest just was furious. He says, this doesn't work. This can't work. But when you listen to Jesus, when you listen to what Jesus said to the saints, you're on fire. Now, what Jesus says to Louisa, you are consumed. I mean, it's not just a fire. It's you're consumed in this love of God. And the love of Mary, the Jesus of Mary, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So our Lord is looking at us and he's saying, I'm going to give you a Lent and it's going to be a tough one. But he says, I'm going to be with you and I'm going to help you get through the time that I, the Lord God Almighty, have given to you, that I, the Lord God Almighty, want you to live through. Why? Because he trusts us. He believes that if we're true to him, he's going to be true to us. He's going to get us through this. There's nothing to be worried about, nothing to be fearful about, nothing to be anxious about, nothing to be complaining about. God is in charge. And and this is why he says, I, God, suffer so much that in order to see you suffer so much, I put you to sleep. But, he says, I remain close to you. I, God, do not leave you. Those are words to us personally by Jesus Christ himself. This is why when you're reading the Book of Heaven, he can take you out of time and space, and he can bring you to the throne of God. And here in front of the throne of God, he can show you, I am close to you, show you, I do not leave you. We are children of God. It says in scripture, what we are now is children of God. What we are going to become, we do not know. But what we do know is that we are going to become like him because we are going to see him as he is. That's the image and likeness of God. So he's given us the way and the how this is going to happen. So the more that you're focused on listening to Jesus, consuming, being in that consuming fire, one with Jesus, the happier we become. Do you believe, no matter what you're going through, even when you're sleeping, I am close to you. I do not leave you. You're only going to get worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative when you think you're alone, when you think you've been abandoned. Jesus isn't abandoning us. Everything that we're going through, everything that we're going through is planned by God. And this is our life. That's why Joan of Arc said, I have been born for this time. Look at your family. Look at your friends. Look at your neighbors. Look at your coworkers. Look at your parishioners. Look at the world. Look at your nation. Look at the church. What is going on? Did Jesus abandon us? No. He says, I'm close to you. I'm not leaving you. We belong to him. He paid for us by every drop of blood that he shed on the cross. And when we meditate on Christ crucified, especially in the 24 hours of the Passion, what happens at that point is glory. Glory. He wants to prove to us that this time that we're living in is essential to him. And that's why he predestined us to live at this time, because he needs us to work with him. We can't do anything by ourselves. We're nothing. He's everything. So that's what he's saying. So he says, while you sleep, I, God, do for you what we should be doing together if you were awake. God's taking care of everything. Your prayer is powerful. Jesus says, ask, believe that you have received it, and it is yours. Do we believe that? Do we believe it? If you believed it, your prayer is filled with confidence. Your prayer is filled with trust. Your prayer is filled with hope. Christian hope is certitude. When we pray, especially when we learn the command prayer, it's take my humble prayer and make it your command. If God is doing it, if this is his command, it's going to happen. There's nothing to be afraid of. If we trust in him, if we believe in him, if we have confidence in him, he says, you're not going to be a prey to oppression. You're not going to be a victim of oppression. Why? You're trusting in him, believing in him, confidence in him. It's not how bad we are. It's how glorious he is. And that's the main thing. When you go to confession, and again, confession should be part of our life. When we go to confession and make a good confession, we are filled with joy afterwards. Why? We are full of grace. We're reflecting the one who is full of grace, our Lady, our Lord. And what our Lord is asking of us is he's asking us to trust in him. So what does he say? He says very clearly, he says, while you are sleeping, even sleeping at night, I, God, do for you what we should be doing together. This oneness that God wants with us. You know, when we receive the glorified body, we're going to be very happy, very happy. Because what you're going to see is Jesus and us together. Jesus and each individual soul. In every human body, Jesus and that soul together. Image and likeness. Why do we want the glorified body? Why are we looking forward to the glorified body? Because it's the oneness between God and man. This is Jesus calls the wedding feast of heaven. It's to become one with God as God wanted from the beginning. Not that we become God, but we are in his image, his likeness. That's why when you go to confession, a good confession, and you're full of grace, you're happy. Why? You're one with God. Image and likeness is happening. When this fullness happens, that's going to be a glorious time. Jesus talks about that in volume 24, that when this fullness happens, we're going to be so filled with glory and joy and happiness that it's heaven. you participate in God. That's why our God is asking us, would you be willing to begin to live this life of peace, joy, and happiness? Are you willing to not be a prey to oppression any longer? No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety. We say to Jesus, I trust you. I believe in you. I hope in you. I have confidence in you. I give you my prayer. As Peter, when he saw Jesus walking on the water, as Peter said, if you are the Messiah, command me to come to you. Take my prayer and make it your command. And what does Jesus say? He says, come. He gets out of the boat, walks on water. Humans do not walk on water. But because he surrendered his prayer to Jesus, ask, believe that you have received it, and it is yours. God's got great plans. Don't limit God. Well, my family is far from you, and they're very, very far. They're going to hell. And what can I do? Pray. Trust in him. Don't become oppressed and become prey to oppression. Trust in him. Have confidence in Jesus. I like to see difficult situations because we can say to Jesus, I really want to see how you're going to do this one because you're God. I trust in you. I believe in you. And I know you're going to do it. And Jesus goes, trust me. And, you know, we back down and say, I trust you. Now, you might not see it in this life, but God is going to answer your prayer. Why? He's your God. He's your Savior. He's your King. Now, a lot of times you say, you know, there's two things that happen in prayer when your prayers aren't answered. Number one, if you're upset with somebody, you're angry with somebody, you haven't forgiven somebody, or somebody that's hurt your family, or somebody that's caused great sorrow in your life. If you haven't forgiven them, Jesus says, my Father can't forgive you yours. I can't answer your prayers. So a lot of times when prayers are not answered, you can say to Jesus, who do I need to forgive? Lord, I've been praying and it doesn't seem like it's going to happen. Who do I need to forgive? Who haven't I forgiven? And you got to go through your life. You got to go through and find that individual or individuals that you haven't forgiven. And it's tough to forgive. But Jesus says we have to have the heroic forgiveness of Christ crucified. Father, forgive them. We have to have that, Jesus says to Louisa, that heroic forgiveness of Christ crucified. And then what happens, the other thing that can happen is, I remember I was praying for someone and, for healing, and the person died. And I said, you know, I did everything I was supposed to do. And it was very clear. The Lord said this was their glory. What they went through was their glory. And to not have them go through that, they would have lost that glory that they will have for all eternity. Again, it's always surrender to God. I trust in you. I believe in you. I hope in you. I have confidence in you. But I know that even in heaven, that prayer was answered because them being in heaven perfectly restored, that when they come back with their glorified body, it's going to be wonderful. And that prayer is being answered, but it's being answered the way God is going to answer it. So you don't limit God by saying, oh, you can't do this. God goes, that's right, I can't do it. You don't trust me. Everyone in sacred scripture that was healed, he says it's because of your faith that you're healed. Your trust in me, your confidence in me. Our job is to, as Jesus says, don't leave yourself prey to oppression. Don't be a victim anymore of oppression, of worry, fear. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I have confidence in you. It's he is our Lord, our Savior, our Master. So He says, I do for you what we should be doing together if you were awake, because it is not you who wants to sleep. It is I, God, who wants it. It's see, to be one with Jesus is to get rid of me, I, those words, I, me, my, mine. It's to say to Jesus, I trust in you. I, Lord, I want you to be my Lord, my Savior, my Master. I want you to rule my life. And he says this, it's not you who wants to sleep. It is I who wants it. And this is why I, God, make up for you. He knows how weak we are. He knows how lazy we are. I love listening to the last part of the movie of the Song of Bernadette, where Bernadette is in bed dying, and she goes through her life at that point. Jesus says, he says right here, he says, I make up for you. All that she said about her life on her deathbed was reversed. Because Jesus says, this is why I, God, make up for you. I'll take care of it. He knows how weak we are. And he wants us to trust in him. Not in us. I don't trust in me at all. I trust in him. He has to be our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King, our God. And that's why he says, I'll make up for you. He says that to Louisa a lot. He says to Louisa that he knows how weak she is, so he's going to take care of it. When you read the book of heaven, Jesus is speaking to you, and you let him take you to heaven if he wants to. Let him teach you outside of time and space. Let him fill you with peace, joy, and happiness. Let him be your Lord, your Savior, your Master. And that's why he says very, very clearly, do you see how much I, God, love you? He's going to make up for everything. He says this. He says, you are the canvas that I'm going to make a divine masterpiece out of. You're nothing. God is going to do it. So what is he going to do? He, when we're not fighting him, when we're trusting in him, he is making of us a divine masterpiece for himself that he can delight in. It's all for the glory of God. It's all for the salvation of souls. We trust in him, believe in him, have confidence in him. Yes, it's tough. It's tough out there. But he's our Lord. And he says, do you see how much I love you? If you knew how much I, God, suffer when I see you wake up fidgeting because you have not perceived that I, God, was close to you. I mean, that's why we're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining. We think we're abandoned. No, you got to trust in God. You got to believe in God. You got to hope in God. You have to have this trust in God. So when things get difficult, I say to Jesus, can't wait to see what you're going to do here, because you're going to take care of it. I know you're going to take care of it. It's going to be the way you want it done. These are my prayers that I surrender to you so that they become your command. But if you have something better planned, so be it. It's not, we don't get upset when our prayers aren't answered. It's you're the Lord. You're our Savior. And I trust you. I know I have confidence in you. So he says, do you see, if you knew how much I, God, suffer when I see you awake up, fidgeting because you have not understood that I was close to you. And since I myself had put you to sleep in the torment of my privations, Jesus is in charge of our lives. When you wake up in the morning, you do your prevenient act and your actual acts, and you have to, say, for example, be somewhere at a certain time and you don't make it, you don't get upset. You go, well, Lord, you had another plan. I remember when the first 10 years from from 94 to 2004, I had my computer fixed, and I had 10 years of writing on Louisa, the first 10 years, you know, that I was really writing. And I brought it to a friend, and he cleaned my computer. He says, we'll make it brand new. And I said, but save everything. All the pictures I had with, you know, the Pope, all the pictures I had with the family, all gone. All that I wrote for 10 years was gone. And I said to him, I said, I wanted all this saved. He goes, I didn't do that. And I go, 10 years. And he goes, Father, say fiat. And I want to say fiat. I went, holy cow. But again, fiat, it didn't matter. What mattered was to trust in God. If God didn't want it, I didn't want it. You know, if God wanted that wiped clean, I wanted it wiped clean. It's not us that are in charge. It's God's in charge, and he tests us. Are you going to be angry about this? Are you going to be furious about this? Are you going to learn? He says, we have to learn. Most of us are like stubborn mules, and we have to say to the angels, beat me as you would a stubborn mule. Why? So God can get through to us what he has planned. We're stubborn. We're selfish. We're self-centered. And that has to all be gone. So Jesus is going to take care of that. So he says, it is true that you suffer. And then he says, I, God, suffer with you. But it is in the bond of my will that flows in you, and also in this clasping you more renders our mission more stable. Each one of us has a mission. Louisa had the greatest mission, he said, of any human, next to Adam. The greatest, Our Lady Theotokos, Mother of God, no one had that mission. No one can compare to that. But a human born of original sin. And Jesus says to us, he says, our union is going to be more stable because this mission, this bond with the divine will and our human will is bringing about the mission that God has planned from the beginning of time. That's why we're here. Don't worry, God wins. Don't worry, God's going to take care of everything. But we have to trust in him more because we're going through sufferings inside and out that the saints did not have to go through. So he's given us a way and a means to get through this, and that is with the book of heaven. So we'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always, that we all become divinely healed, all the little children of the holy divine will. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you, and we'll talk to you next week.